Good morning. Welcome to the Sunday, April 17, 2016 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Shout outs and thanks to those taking to the streets of Paris and across France in a movement called Nuit Debout, which I think means in the night, rise up, seriously. While it's a protest of fascist creep, as well as neoliberal economic policies, imposed austerity, more and more, less and less, and a global system that wants to keep tight control of us. May it move beyond protest to global planning for a future based in the assumption of abundance and non-coercion. And may we, here in the U.S., do the same, and link arms and aims and love and action, inspiring the world to believe in our right to freedom. Decommissioning the system needs to be a worldwide effort. Let's flesh out what that means in terms of exorcising the internal state, withdrawing our support, denying it human energy. So instead of demanding jobs, we demand land for earthships, communal living arrangements, and linking electronically, globally, sharing our knowledge, sharing our analysis. Sisters and brothers, I thought when I started writing, the book I wrote on work, I thought I might call it Dreams of Wholeness, to convey a sense of half lives lived in shadow. But then these words broke across my mind like sunrise, and I saw that the author was right. Quote, everyone is dreaming in this country. Now it is time to wake up. And that's from Subcomandante Marcos of the Zapatista National Liberation Army from 1992. It is time to wake up from our numbing, trudging slumber, our treadmill drowse, our nodding slog, our dreary sacrifice to the frightful nightmare of power, in which it sees itself triumphant atop a pile of corpses, grinning grimly at its defeat of unbowed life, authentic life ground down beneath its boot. It is this image of sleepwalking through life, of a soft, blurry, edgeless world where it's impossible to bump into things because we own nothing. Or else we are merciless clingers to the rules and regulations of authority. Illusions made real because we have nothing else. The fog of absence. The thought that all else but this was being systematically snipped from the picture of our possibilities is what haunted us as we read Alice. And while Alice understood and explained it in terms of the loss of the authentic self, she also despaired a bit, confessed her frustration at how to break into that fog in those who could not be aware it was there. I called this a version of Socrates' dilemma in the May 31st, 2015 show. Alice saw as her objective to help readers answer for themselves on their own terms these questions. How were our parents brought up? How were they permitted, even forced, to treat us? How could we, as children, have become aware of this? How could we have treated our own children differently? Can this vicious circle ever be broken? She said, it may be that I'm trying to attain something with these texts that either is not possible at all or is completely superfluous. For as long as you are not allowed to see something, and my comment, and regardless of how overt or subtle is this message from the parent, the system saying it is ultimately what silences us. I.e., there is no alternative available for us to see. There is no option other than performance, pretense, collaboration. The pressures of power on us to conform is merciless. And so what choice do most of us have but to dissolve our authenticness, our originalness, or bury it and get on the same side with power? We argued in that show that the fog descends when our thought gets stuck in the question, what's true, what isn't? And I would add, why? Why is a big one where our thoughts get stuck at age two? Because we craft our souls from what we believe to be true. That being so, we are dependent on our fellows. If we can have no belief, because none of it makes sense, our thought process does begin to just go into paralysis. We're dependent on our fellows for the quality of our souls, for thought to grow, and so for there to be a possibility to see through the lies of the system, i.e., for there to be the possibility of delegitimization. Hence our present focus, providing the necessary alternative, beginning the decommissioning process, understanding the abuse we received as infants, all together, experiencing it as an intentional injury of class, all together, making rage conscious, because we got some crooked roads back there that we got to go back and straighten out and make conscious. For until we make rage conscious, it can feel like a force external to ourselves, a source of fear, continuously refueled by the system, rendering us readily manipulable. Delegitimization of the state is an effect of a collective exorcism, a group conscious experiencing of the abuse of class, the state's coercive manipulation and callous disposal of our lives. Last week we said, in reference to a conversation with another member of the BLR collective who said he had no problem with the state, which led to the thought that key definitions must be in our back pocket when we engage with our brothers and sisters on the subject of reclaiming our bodies. One of the principal objectives of our coming together must be developing the lexicon of freedom. And it strikes me further that this might help us over the obstacle of power conditioning us to understand, quote unquote, its problems, quote unquote, as the sense of identification some of us may feel with the nation state dissolves to betrayal once we see the reality of the hidden global state, which makes a mockery of all of our trained-in notions of sovereignty. And at that point, we realize that our parents, ourselves, and all our relations have been lied to. And we understand why. And the understanding we gain through access to true information explains authentically all the conundrums. And then we work together to pass it along to our sisters and brothers.